Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
A way to start the second hour here, the Thursday Afternoon Adventure Show. Yes, it's 12 minutes past two, and you're listening to Martin, Louise, Jade, and we've got another special guest. We have Megan, who's sort of singer mainly. You're a whole lady of the arts, really, aren't you? You've got many projects going on, and
I have.
Some pieces like that, so you're in to tell us a little bit about that as well. First, let's say, what did we go through to kick off this hour? We had a bit of Queen, Don't Stop Me Now, a bit of a classic, and just filled that up with a bit of Gorillaz Stylo. So, Megan, yes, you actually know Louise.
Yeah.
You're tutor to Louise at the moment, aren't you, for one of the
Make sure I call it tutor. I run a fun singing group at the Better Days Cafe in Ventnor, which I was asked to do, and I said I wasn't going to do it because I'm supposed to be retired. But I got persuaded. I do it fortnightly, and it is actually aimed at anybody, but particularly people who think they can't sing or have been told when they were young that they can't sing. Oh. Because if you're told you're young, when you're young, that you can't sing, you don't then, even if you actually can.
Yeah.
Oh, I sing in the shower. Well, if you sing in the shower, you can come and sing in a choir. Plus, there's various reasons why I do this. I've been running community choirs for 13 years on the mainland and then here, because the health benefits are brilliant, both mentally and physically. Mm. Most people leave the choirs, because I run another one which I'll talk about in a minute, and they leave them with a big smile on their face. Mm. Because it's very uplifting, so it's great if you're feeling down. It's one of the reasons I started at the Better Days Cafe, because that's there specifically to help people. It's a brilliant place. It's really, really good. They help a lot of people. And I thought, yes, I'll do that then, all right.
It's very warm there, isn't it? It's a very welcoming atmosphere.
It is, it
and,
is.
And just having joined your choir.
They told you couldn't sing, Louise.
No. Oh, easily, yes.
No, what?
Yes,
well, I'd yes. believe. You'd be like an angel.
Oh, my goodness.
No?
No.
Screeching cat?
Yes, yes. Okay. More like a squawk comes out.
But the point is, if you're in a choir, it's a blend. So nobody's going to listen to you. And in the past, I've had people, you could call them grumblers, who do have trouble keeping the note. Mm. And I used to put them at the back. And when we sang, they were like a sort of counterpoint. And they loved it so much. I have never, ever asked anybody to leave because they can't sing. Mm-hmm. Even people who I've tried and tried and have had problems getting them to get the note, they've got something. Mm. My other choirs, I did a lot more harmony. This one, it started as a singing group, but they're getting better. Some of the people came in from the cafe last Saturday and said, oh, we thought that was the stereo because we'd done a little bit of harmony. So I was very, very proud of them last week.
Oh, well, you worked us very hard, and we did all right. I think we did all right.
Oh, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's something I love to do. I'm an actor by trade. I trained at drama school 145 years ago.
So tell us a bit about where it began. You know, you went off to drama school.
I went off to drama school in Birmingham from South Buckinghamshire, darling. Thank you so much. born of Welsh parents. That's why my name is Megan, which didn't used to be as common as it is now. There never is any Megans at my school or anywhere else, but anyway. I then went into the theatre. I worked at various theatre companies, including a touring rep called Theatre North, and ended up my summer season. I was the deputy stage manager and I took small parts, and we had the classic, one of the main actresses broke her ankle walking on the hills, and they shuffled all the things around, all the shows, and they ended up with one show and nobody to play the main part except me. Interesting. It was called Fanny Hawthorne.
Oh,
and it's in a play called Hindle Wakes, which nowadays didn't have the impact that it had then, because it was about a girl who went off with the boss of the factory and got pregnant and refused to marry him. And this was written in 1913.
Oh, crikey.
And Wakes Weeks, they're up north. That's what they do. Yeah. Everybody goes off on holiday for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I absolutely loved it. And then I became the juvenile lead. And then I got pregnant, which was unexpected. And I didn't get married, all sorts of things happened, And I went back to theatre for a while when my son was little, but found it very hard.
So it must be difficult to juggle all the things that you, because you've got to learn lines, turn that over quickly, move on to a new play.
Yes.
I'm not from that background, but I know from stuff that I've read, biographies and autobiographies that I've read, it's really hands-on in the theatre. You don't end up just doing the one thing quite often. If you're in rep theatre or something like that,
Yes, if you're in a small theatre group, and there's lots of them, you do everything. I mean, when I was a deputy stage manager and doing small parts as well, we would do 16, 17, 18-hour days. Mm. I learnt to catnap. Mm. I'd go to the back of the theatre if I had 10 or 15 minutes and go to sleep in one of the chairs and then wake up and carry on. It's not... Years ago, it was a lot harder. Mm. We had a lot more things, touring repertory companies. We don't have them anymore, which is a huge
shame. It's a shame, because that brought on talent, presumably.
Absolutely.
It would have brought on that wealth of talent.
Absolutely. Well, then I went into television because I lived in a Worcestershire village called Hagley, at the end of the Hagley Road in Birmingham, which meant I had BBC Pebble Mill and Central TV literally at the end of the road. And I had an agent who was originally worked in Central for Crossroads. So after I had my son, I was a regular receptionist in Crossroads. But I went on. I did very small parts, not huge. I've never done anything big. I've never been famous, but I can't say I'm bothered about that. My uncle was what they call a jobbing actor. And you'd look at his face and think, I know that face. But you wouldn't know who he was. And he actually coached me to get into drama school. And that's what I did. I was a jobbing actor. I did bits on here. I did Soldier Soldier. I did Boone. I did loads of kids' shows. I did a lot on Channel 4. And I absolutely loved it because I could do that. I had three children by then. And I could do that and also look after the children. Then I went into corporate and did a lot of corporate stuff. And then I went back to theatre when my kids were older. And I went to audition for something. And I didn't realise it was something called Forum Theatre. Forum Theatre it was started in Brazil by Auguste Boal. And it's basically you do a part that play that tells you what's gone wrong with whatever's going on. Okay. Then you start it again and the audience directs the protagonist to make a different choice.
Oh, okay.
Or they replace the protagonist as themselves. There's no role-playing. And they change what happens. So we worked with Samwell Metropolitan Borough Council and we had everybody through in 9 months, apart from the teachers. And we never pointed fingers. We always set it somewhere else. But it was absolutely incredible. We had the dustman sorting out the middle management problems. It was absolutely brilliant. Our little protagonist was having trouble. And one of them, I can sort that out. Off he came.
A proper Brummy accent.
Yeah. He said, right, you go over there. You go over there. You sit there. Now you say this. It was absolutely brilliant. It was the best thing I've ever done. It was 9 months. And I met my second husband there.
And you eventually ran a theatre company with your husband, didn't you?
We did. We ran our own Forum Theatre company called Leaping Deer. And we mostly worked with the NHS. We did a lot with Alexandra Hospital in Portsmouth, an awful lot with them. Doing the same sort of thing, doing things about looking beyond the illness to the person, listening to the relatives because they know the person more than you do, dignity and privacy, all this sort of thing. We did a whole set of things, but we set them... we set one in a hotel in space, run by a guy called Dickie Ranson, which we thought was very clever. We had a lot of puns like that. And to my amazement, he is actually thinking of putting a hotel in space.
Oh,
I mean, how long? Yeah. 15 years ago, we'd have thought...
You gave him the idea.
Absolutely.
You should have commission on
that. I was going to say, he owes me money. But it was great. It was absolutely great. And we would get the nurses. We got very few doctors or surgeons, but we did get some who used to sit there with their arms folded and then come up and say, actually, that was really good. Unfortunately, financial crisis of 2008 put a bit of a kibosh on that. So then we went into music. We had a music workshop for care homes.
Right.
Okay. Both of us are musical. I've sung all my life. I'm classically trained. And my Ted was... He wouldn't sing with me for ages because I was classically trained and he wasn't. But he had a voice like Johnny Cash.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so cool. We became a country and western duo. Mm-hmm. And we also did this workshop in care homes for 6 years. And it was absolutely brilliant. And I've kind of stayed in music ever since, rather than go back to theatre. I miss it, but I love singing.
But you've tended to link it to supporting people and bringing along people's wellbeing, haven't you, over that time?
That seems to be my purpose. Yeah. When I was young, I didn't think I had a purpose, but... Weirdly, it does seem to be what I like to do. I like to do something that makes a difference. And I also run a little singing group for Wessex Cancer Support. And that is very important to me because we get between 8 and 10. We got 12 the other day.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And these are people who've been affected by cancer. They've either had it, had a relative who's had it, they looked after somebody, whatever. We have a couple who are still going through treatment. And they love it. They leave with huge smiles on their faces and it just makes them feel better. Mm. And that, for me, is worth doing. Mm. I love it. I absolutely love it. So if you are affected by cancer and you want to have a really good sing and a mess about and a laugh and a lot of fun on a Monday afternoon between 2 and 4... at the Lugely Street Wessex Cancer Support, please come along, because it doesn't even matter if you can't sing. If you want to just sit there and listen, that's absolutely fine.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. I expect there'll be a lot of people that would get something out of that.
Absolutely. It just, I say, they all come and they say, oh, we love it, we do have such fun here, because I do tend to be a bit daft.
I've never ever got that impression, Megan, at all.
Yes, I'm a bit potty, and I do try and tell sort of funny stories and stuff whilst I'm teaching, and little stories about my life and all that sort
of nonsense. How long have I been saying to you, you need to come on the radio? Probably since about 3 or 4 weeks into us knowing one another. We need to get you on the radio because of all your stories.
Yes.
Jazz. Now, you do a lot of jazz singing, don't you?
It's a saddish story, I suppose. I came over to get married after the love of my life died. A couple of years later, I met another chap. Came over here, and sadly, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer and died 5 months after we got married. And then I became a pensioner. And I thought, what haven't I never done? And I thought, I've never sung solo swing. And I love swing and jazz. I would never have believed I would when I was younger. And so I decided to do a bit of solo work. And that was 2 years ago. I don't sing in that many pubs anymore because I sing to backing tracks. A lot of them think that it's karaoke. And my backing tracks are produced for me and manipulated for me. It's nothing like karaoke. I also sing in care homes, which I never thought I'd do again. Went along to one thinking, oh, I don't want to do this, I want to go back to this. Absolutely loved it. And got a very good reception. So yes, I sing a lot of Frank Sinatra, actually, funnily enough, and Peggy Lee, which is my favourite. I absolutely love it.
Megan has an amazing voice.
Oh, thank you.
You do have an amazing voice. And it was you sort of saying, oh no, now we've got to sing what she's just sung, and we're not going to have anything like that.
Well, that's the thing, because most of the people, well, all the people who come to both sings, choirs, don't read music. And so all they get is the lyrics. And actually, it's actually quite hard to learn just from the lyrics. So what I have to do is sing and get you to sing it back to me. And most of the songs we do are songs that people know from, I don't know, This Is Me, Don't Stop Believing.
All That Jazz.
Pardon?
All That Jazz.
All That Jazz. Johnny Be Good.
That's very fast.
Yes, it is. It wasn't. I did take it down, but I've put it back up again
now. I know you have.
Yes. You can all do it, though. So as long as you don't sing Louisiana, because that won't go in.
No, no. You see, this is the thing. The little instructions you give us make all the difference. You're like, no, don't. Right, before we start, no Louisiana. It's got to be Louisiana, because you'll never get it in otherwise.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So I'm very lucky, because I'm 68 now. I'm still doing things that I love, and I'm still helping people, which I absolutely feel is, there's no other point in life than to try and be somebody who helps other people, if it's just giving them a bit of fun.
Yeah, well, you've clearly got a passion for
you
it.
Definitely do.
Absolutely.
Like you say, it's more of the taking part, really. Some other classes are, you know, a bit more professional in terms of how you want to sound, but actually it seems like the main thing from your classes is just to actually more about enjoyment.
It is, but interestingly, we've been going for about a year now, and they all came along and thought that, oh, we'll just sing. We're singing harmonies now.
There you go.
And there's one song, actually, which is an a cappella song from Ghana, and it's in three parts, and I can get anybody to sing those parts and sing in three-part harmony in 10 minutes. Honest gov.
It's impressive, and it's all about a Ghanaian... Is it a Ghanaian man?
Yeah, ladling a banana into his aunt's red hat. Because it's in some sort of language, presumably Ghanaian, who knows. But I've done it with WIs and things like that. And it's amazing when people suddenly realise that they're singing harmony without it being difficult, without thinking, I've got to get that note. It's absolutely wonderful. I love doing it. Mm. And I always do it. If I start a new choir, it's the first thing I do.
It gave me such a boost, because I thought, oh no, here we go, not only am I going to sing a song now, but it's in a foreign language. But actually doing it, and because we got it so quickly, and we were split into three groups, and we started doing it harmonies, I'm thinking, oh, I'm singing, I'm actually in a choir, I'm singing.
You're going to make me cry.
It's good.
That is exactly what I want. That's what I want. I want people to enjoy singing, even if they think they can't, because it's just so uplifting. Mm. And it's actually physically good for you as well. Mm. I'd like to say it makes you lose weight. It doesn't seem to, sadly.
I don't know if you do a bit of dancing.
You do. And also, I haven't done much with you, but if you use your diaphragm, that does help. With your tummy area.
Yeah, I'm hoping that'll tone my tummy off a bit. That's what I'm hoping for. If you could arrange that along the way, that would be really
I'll
good.
Have a go. Okay. I'll have a go.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, because it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show this afternoon.
Thank you.
And if people want to come along to the Better Days Cafe,
yes,
and join the choir, that'd be nice.
It would be lovely. It's every 2 weeks. I think the next one's the 26th of October, from 2 till 4. We have a break where you can go and get the yummy food and drink that the Better Days Cafe provide. It's only £3, just donation, really. And you can come and stay for the whole thing. You don't have to. You can leave halfway through if you want to. Mm. If you don't, like, we had one lady who came and then decided it wasn't for her right in the middle. Okay, sorry, darling. But
there's all different ages and abilities.
Absolutely.
There. Last week, one of the ladies brought her grandchildren who were over, and they joined in just for 1 week and loved it, I think.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we embarrassed the youngest one, to be fair, because we were dancing quite a lot, and she kept looking at me in a bit of disdain, and I just kept smiling back at her, thinking to myself, when you're my age, you'll do this.
There's a 60s dance that goes to the end of These Boots Are Made for Walking. And so, yes, they all looked at us as if we'd gone completely potty.
Well, thank you, Megan. We've had real pleasure with you this afternoon.
Thank you so much for asking me. You. I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you very much.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing@vectisradio.fm.